there's danger everywhere. But danger had never looked quite like this before.
Can you keep a secret?
Based on shocking true events.
This girl, Rena Virk, she's been missing for 3 days.
Emmy Award nominee Riley Keough.
Young girls were the ones we were supposed to protect.
Academy Award nominee Lily Gladstone.
Can't be.
Not be protected from.
A Hulu original series, Under the Bridge. Now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back on Dealing Together, where we help good people who fell for bad deals. First caller?
I had to buy 3 identical sweaters to get the 4th free.
Ooh, you got fleeced. Next caller, what's your deal?
I paid for 20 tanning sessions, but had to use them in a month. Now I'm orange.
Ooh, you got burned. Next caller?
I traded in my old Samsung at AT&T for a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus.
How's that bad?
I got to choose from their best plans.
So what went wrong?
Nothing went wrong.
And you're calling to...
to request a song?
You want a song. Of course.
The choice is yours.
Our best smartphone deals. Your choice of plan. Learn how to get the new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus with Galaxy AI on us with eligible trade-in. AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Offers vary by device. Subject to change. S24 plus 256GB offer available for a limited time. Terms and restrictions apply. See att.com/Samsung for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Paper Ghosts is a production of iHeartRadio. Previously on Paper Ghosts.
Going down the highway between here and the next exit, I tucked myself in and out of calling the police about 100 times. And the last thought I had was, if it was my daughter, I'd want to know.
Back then, my understanding was that to the extent that there were any traces of DNA on anything like the blanket or clothes or anything like that, the technology was such that they just couldn't, it wasn't usable, right? There wasn't enough of it.
A lot of people were critical of the publicity that was put out. They said, well, doesn't it bother you? Yes, but I see her face whether I see it on a picture or whether I don't.
My name is M. William Phelps. I'm an investigative journalist and author of more than 40 true crime books. This is season 3. Paper Ghosts, In Plain Sight. Over the past 30 years, a number of suspects have stood out in Tammy Zawicki's murder case. When I began my own investigation, it was apparent that the semi-truck driving serial killer types who preyed upon young females in the late 80s and early 90s were at the top of the list. There was also Lonnie DeMott, the guy who found and helped move Tammy's body from the roadside in Lawrence County, Missouri. And then there was a lead that came in 5 days after Tammy was reported missing in August of 1992. That tip from an eyewitness who said she was driving eastbound on Interstate 80 when she saw a man in a blue or green pickup truck parked behind Tammy's car along the westbound side of the highway. It was a lead that former ISP investigator Marty McCarthy believes was largely ignored. So what do we know about this man?
Tall, slender, unshaven, just kind of disheveled, I would say. And he's got a hat, ballpark hat. Kind of a typical denizen, you know. I mean, nondescript in that sense. White guy.
Marty believes to this day that the guy driving that pickup truck is the best suspect in Tammy's disappearance and murder. If you look at all the details on paper, it's understandable why he appeared suspicious. All the pieces seem to fit. When you break this lead down, any investigator worth their weight would be drawn to the guy. Still, based on the sheer number of tips about a white semi-truck seen parked near Tammy's car, the ISP was solely focused on finding an 18-wheeler, specifically one with rust-colored stripes. Essentially, a needle in a haystack. As the year came to an end, Tammy's case had started to run cold. Then, in early January, a new call came into the tip line.
Call comes to the office from this woman, who I don't know if anybody recognized her or not, saying, hey, these people just, they came to my office.
It turned out the person on the other end of the line was the same woman who, just 4 months earlier, had called in the tip about the blue or green pickup truck.
She calls back in, you know, and we go out and see her. And no one talked to her in an intermediate period of time.
During this second call, the eyewitness claimed that the man she had seen on the side of the road with Tammy had actually shown up to her place of work along with his wife.
She has an eerie feeling about him from the get-go, she told me. This guy, whoa, I had my hair kind of went up. God, it looks like the guy out on the road. Looks like the guy. She told me that. And I don't think he obviously wouldn't have recognized her, but she was somewhat freaked by that. And he just kind of sits there.
Marty says the person the eyewitness identified was a 31-year-old man named Lonnie Bierbrot. Not to be confused with Lonnie DeMott, the repairman who found Tammy's body. Rather, this Lonnie Bierbrot, was a former semi-truck driver and a convicted felon who had been ordered to serve 3 concurrent 20-year sentences for armed robbery. He ended up getting paroled in July 1990.
He was a trucker, violent felon, got a green pickup truck, lives a few miles from the scene, lived in Sarkozy, was from La Salle, Peru.
According to the ISP, the Bierbrot family owned property about 10 miles from the stretch of highway in Sarkozy, Missouri, where Tammy's body was found. Sarkozy wasn't a heavily trafficked city at the time. Still isn't. Today, there are only about 1,500 residents. And back in 1992, the only logical route off the highway to get to the Bierbrot residence was exit 33, the same exit where Tammy's body was found. More importantly, Lonnie Bierbrot also had family 500 miles away in Peru, Illinois, the neighboring town from where Tammy went missing. He was from that area as well, and the ISP confirmed that on the day Tammy vanished, August 23rd, 1992, Bierbrot was just minutes from the spot on I-80 where she was last seen.
I've done this a long time, and I just thought, whoa, bingo. I can't say everybody else did, but how many coincidences can there be here? So they decided to go down, the whole task force, to Missouri. And for whatever reason, I didn't get assigned to go down there. I don't know why, politics, who knows. I didn't care. I had some stuff to do here. And they took, as I recall, they took a lot of physical evidence out of there.
Did they bring him in for questioning?
They come back and they bring him in. Interview him, take his blood, take his all the samples, DNA, all this kind of shit.
At the time, Marty was actually out in the field assigned to handle other parts of the Zwicky investigation. So the responsibility of documenting and chasing leads fell on other members of the task force, including one of Marty's colleagues, who questioned Lonnie Bierbrot at the station.
So he says, yeah, I interviewed him. He's just spacey as hell. He's just, I don't like, doesn't say anything. And, it was just kind of a space cadet type of thing, which happens. Meantime, while he's there at the state police, in comes his brother and makes a big scene saying, hey, where's my, you got my brother. I want my, what are you doing? What are you doing? Making a big scene in the state police about where he's supposed to be, which always interesting.
Newspapers reported that Bierbrot's wife and in-laws were interviewed. Investigators searched through the Bierbrot's trash and reviewed their phone records. But before anyone on the task force could further pursue their strongest lead yet, Marty and his colleague were hit with a surprising development.
All of a sudden in February, they walk in, we're dissolving the task force. 15, 16 guys. They had been taken from other districts. There's other cases building up. Commanders are saying, blah, 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 blah. I can understand that. And we'd been there for a number of months. But here, in my view, we get the best lead we've ever had.
By early 1993, the 14-member task force investigating Tammy's murder had completely disbanded, citing a lack of progress as the main reason. Investigators vowed to follow any additional leads as they came in, but the number of law enforcement working the case was significantly cut. To me, it's a clear example of the department's mismanagement early in this investigation. Why take a team of seasoned investigators chasing a lead their supervisor deemed one of the most relevant off the case?
This always bugged me, but I'm told in no uncertain terms to stay out of this case. And I do, because I know what those suckers will do.
By May of 1993, 8 months after Tammy Zawicki's murder, police said they had followed up on more than 650 leads and 2,500 truck sightings to no avail. A police spokesperson at the time said they just ran out of leads. Because of this, the Illinois State Police did something it hadn't yet done. Investigators publicly released a list of items belonging to Tammy that were missing from her car and person when her body was found. Among them, Tammy's pair of round, wire-framed eyeglasses, a woman's watch that played Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, a pair of gray A6 running shoes, a large brown faux alligator skin purse, Tammy's driver's license, and her Canon EOS 35mm camera and lens. The spokesperson noted that the ISP had been aware of the missing items all along, but, quote, we have no new suspects and no new leads, so it doesn't matter anymore, end quote. Their hope? That someone had purchased one of the items at a pawn shop or would see one of them and call in.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
After Marty McCarthy was removed from the task force in 1993, he eventually became the commander of the ISP's Division of Internal Investigations for all state employees in the Chicago area. All along, he never stopped thinking about what happened to Tammy Zawicki. When he retired in 2001, he amped up his involvement in the case and became determined to find out more about the man in the pickup truck. He believes that Lonnie Bierbrot was that man and had something to do with Tammy's murder. Marty eventually connected with Tammy's mom to share his theory and discuss the investigation. For him, it was about getting the Zawicki family the answers they deserved and following evidence he believed had been overlooked.
I'm up in Michigan on vacation. I'm playing tennis with my wife. And I stop. I say, God damn it. I just can't live with this. He said, what are you doing? We're playing tennis. I just cannot live with this, bad. I got to do something. I got to call Mrs. Wiki. It's just driving me crazy. I go call her. And I said, hello, it's Marty McCarthy, blah, blah, blah. I said, have you ever heard of Lonnie Bierbrot? No. Although she wasn't happy with the investigation at that time. I said, well, Lonnie Bierbrot was a suspect in this case, a very strong suspect in this case. I just wanted to know if you knew. And if you didn't know, I wonder why. And I personally believe he should be pursued. And she said, I agree with you. I'm on your side. And we took off for like 20 years together on this, talking to people.
As part of his own investigation, Marty made a point of reaching out to the eyewitness who led investigators to Bierbrot in the first place. He trusted her account and deemed her to be extremely credible because her husband was a prominent member of the law enforcement community. It was during one of their meetings in the early 2000s that Marty claims the eyewitness revealed new details to him about her encounter with the Bierbrot family a decade earlier, details which shifted his investigation into high gear. As he explains it, the eyewitness said she found herself engaged in conversation with Lonnie Bierbrot's wife on the day they came into her workplace in 1993.
Mrs. Bierbrot is talking, Lonnie's sitting there, morose, and the wife is rattling on, and she starts talking about, Lonnie gave me this watch. It plays a musical tune. And she kind of showed it to me, and you remember seeing it, and I couldn't see anything on it or like that. She didn't play a tune for me. So I go, holy shit, holy shit.
It's important to note that the eyewitness did not mention a watch in her statement to the police. It wasn't until nearly a decade later, during her meeting with Marty, and long after it was publicized that Tammy's watch was missing, that she told the story of Lonnie's wife wearing one.
How many fucking watches play a tune? I want to know what that tune is. Let's find out. If that is Raindrops, that's the killer to me. It just, that's it. And all we got to do is find that out.
Here's Tammy's mom, Joanne. Do you remember the type of watch she was wearing? Did the watch play that song,
Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head?
She was wearing that watch.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And did it have a greened watch band? Do you remember?
I don't remember for sure. Green was her favorite color, so I'm sure it was a green watch band. It was just a simple watch. It wasn't anything fancy. If I remember her saying she needed a watch to keep time because she had to move from one place to another. So.
But you recall it playing?
Raindrops keep falling on your head.
During the latter part of 2021 and throughout 2022, I made repeated attempts to reach out to the eyewitness to verify Marty's story about the watch. She never responded. What worries me about her information is that I'm hearing it secondhand and have no convincing way to corroborate it. She seems credible, but it's important to note that the Bierbrat identification, the watch story, and the sighting of the pickup truck all come from her and her alone. What I have been able to verify through police documents is that the eyewitness did call the ISP task force in January 1993. She said the Bierbrat's visit to her workplace occurred the previous month, in December, and that Lonnie's wife did most of the talking for him. That the couple was originally from the LaSalle County area of Illinois, but as of December 1992, had still maintained property in Lawrence County, Missouri. Here's Tammy's brother, Todd Zawicki.
Obviously, over time, we've had some people who look like plausible suspects. You know, there was the whole story with Lonnie Bierbrat and the watch and the wife, you know, kind of not quite clear what that evidence, you know, what where that all led. But that was who a lot of people thought was the most plausible suspect.
Marty says the witness also told him something he'd never heard before. That after the ISP paid a visit to the Bierbrat residence and brought Lonnie in for questioning, Lonnie and one of his brothers showed up to the witness's place of work, upset.
The next day, or very soon after that, they both show up unannounced. She's scared, said, who called the police? Who told us that my brother? You know, just made a big scene there and that kind of thing. To me, holy shit. Now, I'm not even sure the state police knows that second part. But my view was, I can't write a police report. I'm retired. I called the state's attorney. And he said, oh, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. But I said, I'll come down there right now. So I sit out there in his waiting room for about an hour, and I'm being blown off. So I go to the secretary, I say, look, here's the deal. Well, he's in there with a meeting. I kind of said, yeah, okay, fine. I'm going to go over to the newspaper with this information. I'm going to give this to somebody. He didn't want to talk to me, fine. I'll be over to the newspaper. He comes out.
Marty's next move would turn him into a polarizing figure. He made good on his promise to contact the media. If you Google Tammy's case, you'll see his name all over it. He's been very critical of how the ISP handled the investigation. Unfortunately, I can't interview Lonnie Bierbrat. He died in 2002 while serving time in prison on unrelated charges. When Marty sought out Lonnie in the years after he retired, the state's attorney explained that Lonnie had passed away and that interest in him as a suspect fizzled. Marty told me he didn't understand why investigators had not pursued Bierbrat more aggressively, even after his death. He even pleaded with the prosecutor to pursue a case, but was told protocol required the state police to bring the case forward for prosecution, something they never did.
What? I said, these guys are not going to bring this case. They don't believe it. And this is the information. You don't have to believe me. Go get this information. No, doesn't work that way. Why not? I said, get a grand jury in here. I just couldn't fucking believe it.
As I began to look into every aspect of the early investigation, one of the first things I did was identify who exactly was responsible for following up on the eyewitness's tip. Turns out, it was an ISP investigator named Bill Hamill, who, like Marty, was a member of the task force. Folks I've spoken to describe Hamill as a respectable guy and a thorough investigator, but Marty believes Hamill dropped the ball on this one. On the official tip sheet, which I obtained from a source, there's a hand-drawn star next to the eyewitness's name. It was put there, according to Marty, by an ISP supervisor and was meant for Hamill. Marty claims the star, in and of itself, was important. Marty says the eyewitness told him that no one reached out to her after she called in the initial tip, and that by the time investigators finally got around to interviewing Lonnie Bierbrot months later, he could have destroyed crucial evidence by then.
All I know is that they found the vehicle, the pickup truck. It had been sold and cleaned. They do a crime scene on that. They find his house. He has sold it, cleaned it, and left.
To clarify, Bierbrot's wife's Toyota pickup truck was blue. Still, did the ISP miss a crucial window of opportunity to connect Lonnie Bierbrot to Tammy's murder?
That tip was followed up on. Every single tip is documented. Every single one.
Jeff Padilla, a retired ISP lieutenant who you've heard in previous episodes, is adamant that the department followed up on every credible lead that came in. They had to. It was not only part of their job, but standard policy.
There was a pickup truck recovered and analyzed, but the information related to the pickup truck didn't coincide. And basically, it was eliminated.
Padilla told me there was, and still is, evidence that was never publicly released, evidence that helped the ISP weigh how seriously they viewed Lonnie Bierbrot as a suspect. Marty says once he heard the eyewitness's watch story, he sprung into action and went further up the chain of command.
I call out there and talk to this guy's supervisor, Hamill's supervisor. He doesn't know anything about the case. He's a new guy. I said, hey, you know, this woman is a witness. She hasn't been interviewed in 10 goddamn years. Now there's new information. You got to send somebody out there to talk to her. I said, well, you see, okay. Guess who he sends?
Hamill.
So Hamill goes out there and interviews and the whole, according to her, already, I talked to her about this. The whole thing is McCarthy should have nothing to do with this. He's retired. Doesn't know anything about this. The whole thing was a downer on me. What information he got, I don't know.
Did she give him the watch story?
I presume she did, but I never saw that report. But he's already got it blown off. It's like watch botch. You know, he just blown this thing off. And if he wrote a report of that, I never saw it.
I tracked down Bill Hamill in late 2022. He's long since retired and now lives in the South with his wife. I spoke with them both and found the couple to be kind and more than willing to be on the podcast. But a medical condition prevented Bill from consenting to a formal interview with me. Because of that, I worried about his recollections and felt it would be unethical to air any part of our conversation.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
I've driven down highways and I've looked over and I've seen remote canyons and places along the way where a guy could pull over his vehicle and at the right circumstance, walk out there and get rid of whatever he wanted and get back in his vehicle and drive off.
Keith Hunter Jesperson, otherwise known as the Happy Face Killer, was a semi-truck driving serial killer who bound, raped, and strangled 8 women while crisscrossing the country between 1990 and 1995.
What was the farthest distance you ever traveled and the longest period of time you ever traveled with a body in your truck?
The longest period of time.
Did you ever hold on to a body for a couple of days, for example?
No, never did. Maybe 150 miles, 200 miles.
And the body was what, in the cab with you?
It was in the sleeper, yeah.
So, and why did you hold on to the body for that long?
Looking for a place to put it.
That's one of hundreds of conversations I've had with Jesperson while he serves 3 consecutive life sentences at Oregon State Penitentiary.
And basically, a killer instinct is based upon your comfort zone. And this is, in my comfort zone is a tool to use in murder.
I first connected with him in 2010 after looking into his murder cases and studying the crimes of those like him.
Properties in there, it's an enclosed area, it's like my victim fell into a hole, and here I have my victim.
Jesperson is not, and has never been, a suspect in Tammy Zawicki's murder. But as I continued my investigation, it was hard not to think back to the conversations I had with him.
To me, it was kind of almost a game to the fact that I'll just see whether or not this person would get in my truck or not.
How he rationalized his horrific crimes and managed to evade law enforcement for as long as he did.
Well, nobody knew who I was. Nobody had an idea if I even existed in the first place. And of course, if evil happens, then someone must be responsible, so why not blame the ghost?
To me, the trail of murder left behind by a truck driver like Jesperson offers valuable insight into Tammy's case. From the start, police investigating Tammy's murder looked at the possibility that a semi-truck driver killed and dumped her body somewhere along their truck route. And for what it's worth, it's a strong theory. Several well-known serial killers were operating at the time. In June 1992, just 2 months before Tammy was murdered, 3 women, 47-year-old Cheryl Levitt, 19-year-old Susie Streeter, and 18-year-old Stacy McCall, disappeared from Cheryl's home about 30 miles from where Tammy's body was found. The women were more famously known as the Springfield Three. And to date, they have not been found. What's more, Susie and Stacy were young and blonde, like Tammy. Were the cases connected? Here's Tammy's brother, Todd Zawicki.
Most of the time when you hear these stories come out, it's these interstate truckers who also kind of live on the fringe of society and move around, and you know, nobody really knows that much about them or where they go and when they go there. There were other truckers who would come up. Bruce Mendenhall was a name I recall.
Bruce Mendenhall was a trucker from Southern Illinois who became a solid suspect for ISP investigators. Mendenhall was known as the truck stop killer because he preyed upon vulnerable women, mainly hitchhikers and women hanging around truck stops. He was arrested in Tennessee in 2007 when he was 56 and seemed to tick many of the boxes in Tammy's case. After his arrest, Mendenhall even confessed to 6 murders in several states. Tammy's was not one of them. Still, with guys like Mendenhall, it's difficult to fully know how much they're withholding from authorities. For example, in 2021, a decade after Mendenhall had already been convicted of murder, he was connected by DNA to another murder beyond the 6 he had been tied to.
What I have kind of reconciled myself to was the idea that if this was the typical profile of a sort of a transient trucker or somebody like that who lived on the edge of society, I've just assumed by this point the guy's probably dead or in jail for something else or died in jail for something else or something like that. It's just not the kind of person who I would expect to have still been around and alive to be an active suspect and that sort of thing. At least that's been my working assumption.
Here's former LaSalle County State's Attorney, Brian Town.
The state police followed a lot of leads with regard to serial killers, you know, that had been caught throughout the country that may have had, you know, ties to our area at that time frame. And all of those leads turned up nothing.
Every time police thought they had a trucker who might have been responsible for Tammy's murder, the evidence wasn't there to back it up. In one instance, a 45-year-old truck driver from Colorado, William James Bannister, was arrested in July 1993 for attempting to kill a 14-year-old girl. Law enforcement found bloody clothes, including undergarments, in the cab of his truck and thought they might be Tammy's. But Bannister was ultimately cleared. This scenario happened over and over again in Tammy's case. Investigators thought they had a solid lead on a trucker who fit the bill, only to rule them out via blood, DNA, or circumstantial evidence. I made a point to ask Brian Town about Marty McCarthy's theory on Lonnie Bierbrot. It was important to me to understand what other investigators thought about Marty's dogged pursuit of the man he believed to be Tammy's killer. Now, you know Marty McCarthy, correct?
Oh, yes.
How would you describe Marty?
Enthusiastic. I would dedicated, always pursuing the truth, but, you know, at times maybe a little bit too talkative during the course of a pending investigation.
I mean, Marty blamed Bill Hamill for a lot of the problems early on in this investigation. When you look at some of the mistakes that were made, and mistakes are made in every investigation. I'm not trying to hammer anybody here. I'm just saying that you know and I know that mistakes are made in every investigation. It's just the nature of human beings.
Sure.
And he blamed Hamill for a lot of that. What would you say to that?
Well, you know, Master Sergeant McCarty was he was very interested in this case. He was very almost consumed by this case. He was revealing information to the family and to the public that really hurt law enforcement's efforts to maintain a proper investigation and the integrity of the investigation. And I can't speak to his motives. I sincerely don't know what the grudge was between McCarty and Hamill, except to say that in 30 years in law enforcement, I can say that, you know, every police department, including the state police, they have their their moments where, you know, one person isn't too happy with another and they're very critical of one another. It's a very emotional profession. And, you know, sometimes, you know, those emotions get in the way.
I'm solely focused on the truth. There's been too much misinformation within Tammy Zawicki's case. Part of the process included running down any holes in Marty's narrative. For me, anything and everything I could learn about Lonnie Bierbrot felt important if for no other reason than to finally clear his name in the court of public opinion. If Bierbrat was a noteworthy suspect and could be circumstantially connected to Tammy's case, I needed to understand how it fit and why the guy was never charged. And for that, I needed to find and interview one person, Lonnie Bierbrat's ex-wife. So I made calls, sent emails, left messages, and even knocked on her door. And while I waited for her to respond, another name kept nagging at me, one that came up again and again as I spoke to members of law enforcement and others who closely watched Tammy's case. Lonnie DeMott. The other Lonnie. The guy who found Tammy's body and claimed that he had helped police carry it from the ditch to the roadside. Some were skeptical of Lonnie's narrative, including the administrators of the Who Killed Tammy Zawicki Facebook group.
The first post he made was in September of 2020. It says, "I'm Lonnie DeMott. I'm the one who found Tammy."
Patrick Jones, the creator of the Facebook group, says Lonnie DeMott's online behavior in recent years has raised a number of red flags.
He came in, he was posting like a son of a bitch, and then people were, all of a sudden, everybody was asking him questions like you wouldn't believe. And he's answering them. I asked him a million questions come to mind. How did you see anything strange or out of place? Was there any tire tracks? How was the lighting at the scene? Just curious. And he just disappeared. I think he wanted to confess to something, in my opinion, that he wants to say, hey, here's what happened.
As it turned out, armchair sleuths weren't the only people interested in Lonnie DeMott's version of events that day.
Hi, Mr. DeMott. My name is with the FBI out of Joplin, Missouri. And when you have an opportunity, could you please give me a call back at... Thank you, Mr. DeMott.
On the next episode of Paper Ghosts.
The reasons given for him coming off the highway depends on what source you read. So we have some discrepancies as to what actually was going on there.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, it's always easy to tell the truth, right? When you start making up stories, it'll change over time. I mean, if I told you a lie today and you came back to me 5 years later, you know, and asked me the same question, I may not respond the same way.
The direction we went thereafter was because of information we had received.
I don't think that he's been ruled out by the law enforcement, but I think he's got something to do with it. It's just too coincidental.
If you are enjoying Paper Ghosts, please listen to my other podcast, Crossing the Line with M. William Phelps, where I use the same storytelling elements you've heard in Paper Ghosts and cover missing person and murder cases. Paper Ghosts is written and executive produced by me, M. William Phelps, and iHeart executive producer, Christina Everett. Additional writing by our supervising producer, Julia Weaver. Our associate producer is Darby Masters. Audio editing and mixing by Christian Bowman and Abu Zafar. Our series theme, number 442, is written and performed by Thomas Phelps and Tom Mooney. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.